All right, so I guess we can get started. So today's session, this will be, today's May 29th, and today will be the second OOR content workshop. So what we are trying to do now, we actually have, this has been in the background percolating for almost 2 years. What we want to try to do today is to bring together some of the different user communities who are actually using the Open Ontology repository work that's been going on within this endeavor, and actually trying to get content into the different OOR instances. And this way, it's kind of playing a couple of roles. On the one hand, people are actually using ontologies, reusing ontologies that have been put into the OOR instances. But it's also an attempt to use these as prototypes to see how the current OOR design and implementation can best serve the needs of the users of ontologies. And so today's session in particular will be devoted to coordinating the content among the various OOR instances. So if we go down to bullet here, 3BPI. That will be the key items for review and discussion today. The first point there has the link to the current OOR instances. So we might just want to go there just briefly to remind everyone what we have available. My network connection seems to be a little shaky today. Strange.
Mm-hmm. I can give you people a better link to the instances, and that's easy to remember also.
Well, when I went to OOR.net, it ended up the page, after about 15 seconds, the page kind of moved me to this one. So.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
It sort of redirects in about 15 seconds to the homepage.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have nine different OOR instances, or I guess eight plus BioPortal. I think the BioPortal link at the end is not specifically or explicitly an OOR instance as we're considering it. And so you can find the various instances there. And so today, like I said, what we're doing is looking at coordination among people who are actually adding ontologies. And thank you to Mike Bennett, who was able to take time out of the busy schedule today to also kind of talk about the work that he's been doing with financial industry related ontologies. Later on, when Mike Bennett comes on, he'll be able to give us an update on SOCOP's work on geospatial ontologies. And in kind of to frame the discussion today, I had kind of three focus questions there under 3BT0. So it's kind of asking, what ontologies have you designed? What ontologies have you reused? So ontologies that you are using, but you didn't actually design, you're using somebody else's. And then lastly, what ontologies do you need? So what ontologies are not currently in any OOR instance that we need to get into there? And since they're not ones that you've designed, it's ontologies that you'll need. This may help us identify the ontologies that are out there, and we can reach out to those people and have them add their ontologies to one of the OOR instances. So we don't really have formal kind of presentation today. This will be kind of relatively ad hoc. Hopefully we'll try to use the chat area to gather any URLs, etc. But again, kind of our objective today though is, who are the content contributors we want to target in the short and medium term, and how can we engage content contributor communities to build up the user base. And Mike, maybe we can just start with you, since you have probably have one of the more mature set of ontologies that people have been looking at within the context of OOR.
Okay, thanks. Sorry for the hum. So, right, we've been working for the last 4 years or so on a financial industry semantics repository, as we call it, which we've been building out for industry terms and definitions and formal semantics for securities, for derivatives, various other financial industry things like corporate actions and so on, also for loans and so on. We've been doing that using a what was originally an early draft of a standard from the OMG called the Ontology Definition Meta Model. This is a meta model and profile that allows us to construct models using OWL constructs but in UML tooling. The primary reason for that being that we wanted to be able to present and validate the model content to business domain experts, and we did not feel that, particularly 4 years ago, any of the semantic web tools like Protégé or even TopRaid were really able to provide the kind of business presentation we wanted. As a result, all of our ontologies are in UML tooling. Now, what we're doing now, for the last year and a half, we've been working with the object management group to do a couple of things. One is to bring our use of that ontology ODM, ontology definition meta model, up to date with the latest version of that. In so doing, we're making the content independent of the individual tool that we have been using, which is Enterprise Architect, and we're starting to produce serialized ODM XMI files that can be consumed by any UML tool that has a particular kind of plugin for this ontology definition meta model. And secondly, within the OMG, we're splitting up the different areas of content that we're doing into individual proposed standards, or RFCs, as they're known in the OMG parlance. And the one we're starting with is one I didn't mention yet, which is business entities. Now, another thing that is worth mentioning up front is that in defining the formal semantics of securities, in order to make a truly meaningful model, we avoided what I sometimes refer to as the pizza approach, where you take a self-contained OWL ontology, and whatever the subject is, you just say everything is a subclass of OWL thing without anything in between. What we wanted to do was define the formal meanings of financial instruments, derivatives, transactions, and so on, by generalizing each thing to the most general kind of thing that it is. So all instruments are basically contracts, all derivatives transactions are basically transactions, and so on. And, you know, for example, something like a securities exchange is a kind of business service. And so all of the terms in our ontologies are framed in terms of much more general terms which are not specific to the financial industry. Now, we can come back and talk about that in a little more detail in a moment, but just so that you know that as part of our business ontology, we have built out a set of provisional terms which ultimately we want to replace with terms from actual standard semantics, to the extent that any of those industry groups or any suitable industry authority, or in some cases some academic authority, as we've done for transactions, has a formal ontology that we could refer to. So virtually everything in the financial domain is really a specialization of something else, either in some other domain like law or accounting, or even a specialization of terms that are too general to be in any domain, such as mathematical concepts and so on. And similarly, there are things like geographical concepts and so on. Now, in the course of doing that, we realized that one such area of content was business entities, but that we in the financial industry seem to own the most difficult problems with legal entities, and we have some very strong regulatory impetus. There's an international initiative right now to create a legal entity identifier, and as part of that, people will be providing services, databases that people can access that will show legal entity hierarchies of ownership and control and so on. So we have created the formal ontology for that, and that's our business entities ontology. So that's the first one going into the OMG process. Although it's not unique to finance, we've taken it on, and then we will be following up with ontologies for securities, for loans, for derivatives and so on. And so that's the basic big picture of what we're doing. I could do another more of a deep dive into the shared semantics, as we call it, the way in which we try and align and make use of terms in other ontologies, if you like. Just one thing to perhaps leave you with on that is that as part of our modelling of loans, we started off with some member-based physical data elements which we reverse engineered into the corresponding semantics, but we have then made some promises both to some of our banking members and to Fannie Mae and so on to align with an industry logical and physical standard called MISMO, which covers all the messaging requirements for loans, loans reporting, wholesale credit and so on. And part of MISMO, there's a lot of terms in there relating to things like real estate. And again, we know that there are good real estate ontologies out there in the semantic world. We would rather be able to make formal reference to the established OWL ontology for real estate rather than try and reinvent it. And that really underpins our whole approach to all of this shared semantic stuff, which is that we're an industry association, we're standards friendly, we never want to reinvent or try and supersede anything that is owned and validated by its own suitable group of industry subject matter experts, in the same way that we've owned and validated the terms for which we are the subject matter experts, which is the financial industry terms. So that's the big picture, if you like, of what we've been doing to date and where we are.
Okay. Thanks. So Mike, if you had to give an umbrella name to all the different ontologies that you're building, would you kind of put it under the ODM ontologies?
No, ODM is the meta model we're using. Our umbrella term for all of our own ontologies is the Financial Industry Business Ontology, or FIBO.
Okay, so yeah, FIBO, right? Yeah.
FIBO, yeah. So that's the name by which it's known.
Okay, Financial Industry. There's a Financial Industry.
Business Ontology.
Business Ontology, okay.
And we call it that very specifically to distinguish it from operational ontologies, which, although their subject matter is still business terms, are optimized and reduced to fit around particular technical constraints, whereas what we've produced is first and foremost a conceptual model at the business level without consideration for design constraints that an individual operational ontology would have. And somewhere down the line, we will be looking at whether we can further standardize what it takes to produce these kinds of operational ontologies, which we're working on with some of our members in proof of concept projects around those. That's why it's very specifically called the Financial Industry Business Ontology, so that people don't look at it with the expectation that you can run it up in Protégé and start immediately doing things with it without further design thinking going into it.
Right, and then so you kind of look at FIBO then. Pronounce FIBO. You kind of look at FIBO as one ontology, one big ontology.
It depends what you mean by ontology, and this.
Would you look at it as kind of a modular ontology then?
Yes, it is, and okay. The individual modules at the leaf level would be represented as .owl ontologies once we produce the .owl deliverables out of our material, which is part of the byproducts of the OMG standardization. It's producing not only this ODM serialization, but also actual OWL files. Each module is one OWL file. Several of those make up one section of the model. And, you know, we try to break it down so that from the point of view of conformance, for example, if somebody wants to create, say, a conformant operational ontology for a particular application, they don't need to ingest a whole range of terms that are not relevant to that application, such as if you want to do an ontology for basic organization and business entity concepts, you might not want to ingest all the material about ownership and control relationships. And so by breaking it down to separate modules, we have conformance points for the use of those different modules. So when we say ontology, we're thinking from a business point of view, and ontology is a full formal description of some business subject matter. And you could call the whole of FIBO or of one FIBO specification an ontology a lot of people get very confused by that because people are used to using the word ontology as a synonym for something.owl, which is not a usage I like, but it's out there.
Right. So then what are the major modules in FIBO?
We have, I'll just pull it up now to double check this, but we've got a roadmap. We might split some of them into smaller separate modules as we go along, but the primary modules are FIBO for business entities, FIBO for reference data, which we may split into securities, funds and so on, derivatives as a separate module, and then we've also separated out time and date dependent terms, so what we call FIBO for market data, which is your pricing and yields and analytics and those kind of date dependent and time dependent terms about financial instruments. And finally, we have FIBO for loans, and then we have a couple of other things on the horizon like corporate actions and securities transactions. And we're working with another standards group that has the physical messaging standard for transactions in order to, again, reverse engineer into the semantics for that. So those are the different modules. As I say, we'll probably split funds into a separate one from securities. So that's not set in stone, but that's my proposal. And we separate reference data from date-dependent terms. And within reference data, we have securities, we have derivatives, we have loans.
Okay. Would you be able to, upload all of these modules into one of the OR instances, or is there some, do you want to wait until this is more mature or gone under review, etc.?
Right, very good point. Up until now, this material hasn't existed in native OWL format. Part of taking each section and putting it through this OMG standardization process will be the production of OWL files at the sort of leaf level of our modular structure. So FIBO for business entities will consist of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dot OWL ontologies. Those will be available imminently as part of what we're submitting into the OMG. That will be discussed and voted on by the OMG towards the end of June. They may kick it back to us. They may have more architectural issues with how we've used ODM, or they may not. But the OWL files will be available anyway, pre-approval, within the next few days. It depends how much work I manage to do tonight as to whether we start to see that tomorrow or the next day or when. But it's one of the things we are imminently aiming to deliver into the OMG process is .owl files. As I say, not ones that are suitable for operational ontology, but definitely something that we would want to be able to upload into the OOR.
Okay. And you mentioned, I'll come back to that in just a second, but you mentioned the time and date aspects, the concepts. Are you, because there is this OMG date time vocabulary that's been developed, and there's a paper appearing in the FOIS conference about it. Have you been using any of those actual, have you reused that ontology?
Right, very good question. Not yet. That's one of the things that the condition on us producing the date-dependent proposed standards, so in the next probably 6 months from now, quarterly meeting cycle, we want to put forward our market data, our date and time sensitive terms, only after we've refactored it around the OMG date time vocabulary. So we're not obviously repeating or redefining any of the date time terms. At the moment, as with all of these global terms, now's maybe a good time to dive into that in slightly more detail. For every kind of concept that we either want to refer to or want to specialize from, it generally is not a concept specific to our industry, and date and time is one such set of concepts. Now, there's no dependency from that on the current business entities release, and so we're not getting any dependency on our current temporary holding terms for date and time. Those themselves are built around the core of the W3C time ontology, with a lot of extensions to support the kinds of terms that we knew we would need for financial securities and derivatives. In particular, the very complex and varied types of schedule terms, accrual schedules and things like that, that are needed in derivatives and in debt trading. So we've got a lot of time terms that are more detailed than are in W3C, possibly more detailed than what are in the OMG date time in some cases, and we need to redispose those around those date time vocabulary terms and extend as necessary in order to provide the supporting vocabulary within which to build out the more detailed industry-specific terms like accrual schedules and interest payment schedules and so on.
So,
Ravi here. I'm sorry, I can't log in, but I mean I'm logged in, but I can't come on the chat. But I have a comment whenever.
Go ahead.
I worked on SPVR, date time vocabulary. IBM's, I think Jim Empston is the lead on that from OMG side.
No, it's IBM, what's his name, Mark
Linehan.
Mark yeah. Linehan, thank you.
Sorry, I was wrong. And then the other one that we reconciled with was 1106. I think ISO 1106, date time standards, but those are more for calendaring and those kinds of dates rather than transactional auditing type of financial dates that Mike is probably referring to, right?
Yes, so I'm working very closely with Mark and his team on the finalization task force for that OMG standard, so that I both have some input to that and some idea where it's going. And you're quite right, something I forgot to mention is that at the moment, the date time vocabulary is not an OWL ontology, it's an SPVR vocabulary. So yes. Another thing that's happening within the OMG is for somebody to try and create an OWL version of this. It is the OWL version that we would be able to use, not the SPVR version.
True.
I thought there was an OWL axiomatization already. I mean, there's a common logic axiomatization.
There's a common logic axiomatization. The OWL one, I believe, is still being worked on.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, we should also...
they also use a lot of things from 1106.
Right. Yes, and as you say, Ravi, there's a lot of calendar type of terms there which are not particularly of interest to us. But there are also a lot of terms that are... In particular, the relationship between a particular concept in the date-time vocabulary and the SDVR concept of the state of affairs. So, to expand on that, we actually have two distinct things that we have in our various models that are currently framed with reference to these temporary time vocabularies, two separate aspects, both of which appear to be delivered by this date-time vocabulary. And that is this. The first aspect is actual concepts of dates and times, time periods, and all the building blocks of schedules and of other industry-specific time concepts, and industry-neutral times concepts. I mean, schedules are nothing specific to our industry, but they're more detailed than what's in date-time vocabulary. So there's the time building blocks. But secondly, this relates to the state of affairs thing, there is how we frame something which varies over time in relation to its relationship to time. And again, we have some temporary stuff which we want to rejig there. So if we take the example of a security price, you have a current value of the price. It's a thing that varies over time, so you have a series of past values. Perhaps a simpler example is something that is reset overnight, like an interest rate. You have, for any given interest rate, a current value with the present tense, and you have past values which of necessity have some dates when they applied, and you have projected future values which have other facts about them, like who projected it and was it an algorithm or a person that, you know, defined this future value. So the relationship between something that varies over time and its tense, the way it's described as time series, as present, as projections, and so on, that is also something which we understand can be reframed in the sort of terms that are defined in the OMG's date-time vocabulary. So we're going to do that as two separate phases of activity, refactoring the time building blocks first, and then reframing our date and time market data material using the kind of framing that the date-time vocabulary defines. That's two activities we still have to do.
I was also hoping to see a couple more things in addition, Mike, like in financial transactional things, the time the transaction originated, and in XA or long synchronous transactions, things like when did it actually consummate or get finished.
Well, for transactions, that's a very good point. We will need to use that relationship to time with transactions as well. Now, transactions, as you can guess, is another example of our global terms or mid-level ontologies. And we're doing some work right now where we took, when we started, a fairly small subset of a thing called the REA ontology. This is an academic-driven formal ontology. Again, it's not in OWL, it's in UML, but it's an ontology in terms of it relates to real-world constructs. We've been working now to further improve our basic transactions building blocks by using more of REA, and at the same time reconciling that with terms from XBRL. So XBRL gives you a party-dependent perspectival viewpoint on different aspects of a transaction. REA describes the transaction in the round. And here you have things like, as you say, the time-based component, because most transactions are not instantaneous, especially our kinds of transactions. So if you have a six-month swap, then the transaction begins and the deal is struck and ends at maturity, and that transaction itself lasts for 6 months, with various things happening. And so you have the two sides of the transaction, the two events, each of which is seen from the two different perspectives. It's quite a complex but very well thought out model, and we're just improving on the way we define that, the way we relate it to business process concepts. And here again, we created some basic semantic building blocks for process, but in the long term, we really want to be able to align that with process notations like BPMN, so you have both the ontological view of the first order kind of things and facts, and the process view. And all of that, anything that has a process in it, including a transaction, will need to be framed in that same kind of way of that we would frame date-dependent terms, which is how do you describe its relationship to time using the kind of constructs that are in the date-time vocabulary. So this whole area gives you, I think, quite a good flavor for the kind of integration and cross-referencing that we need between our terms and various other industry and academic and non-industry terms in order for us to create a meaningful model at all. You know, we can't just say equity is a thing and schedule is a thing and just do it in isolation, because that's just not meaningful, and that's not been our strategy.
Do you also interoperate with Swift, Mike?
Yes. Well, yes and no. Swift doesn't have an ontology. Otherwise, that would indeed be something we needed to interoperate with. Here's what Swift has. We have two Swift messaging standards, ISO 15022 and ISO 20022. So 15022 uses an old message syntax called AFN.1. ISO 20022 aims to replace that, or in fact has replaced that, with XML message schemas. Mm-hmm. Now, 20022 has made a very important elevation from physical models, physical schemas and so on, to a logical model. And in fact, the folks at Swift are currently working on trying to elevate that logical model still further to be more semantic. And I think without any reference to any existing art, which they haven't seemed to have made much exploration of, the approach they're taking looks to me at a first glance quite similar to and perhaps compatible with the approach in SDVR, which is the idea that instead of, you know, generalizing everything all the way up to the common set of which everything's a member, you start with these mid-level terms that are owned by a kind of semantic community, as SDVR calls them, such as contract and transaction and so on. And so they're doing a kind of semantic light on that. Now, the other thing that's happening is that the ISO Technical Committee, TC68, has set up a new working group called Working Group 5, which I'm the secretary. We haven't met very often because the very idea of doing semantics has actually been very disturbing to a lot of the more message-orientated people that work with Swift messaging every day. So there's a lot of hostility at the moment from some of the Swift community towards the very idea of semantics at all. And for the last two meetings, we spent so much time hearing them complaining about what they think semantics would do that they actually don't know that semantics is not a replacement for some existing data modeling, that it's another level of abstraction, that it's a business conceptual model, what I said before about business ontology being quite important here, that we're creating a conceptual model corresponding to the logical and physical terms in Swift. And so to answer your original question in that context, when we started to populate the semantics of tradable securities, we did so by looking at the logical model terms in ISO 20022 and inferring the corresponding semantics, which was mostly this is a contract, or this is a contract term set, or this is a schedule, and so on. And so we actually built the model to represent the semantics of the logical and physical terms that are in ISO 20022. In that sense, the relative parts of our ontology is essentially an ontology of ISO 20022. Similarly with derivatives, it's essentially an ontology of FPML. Again, with similar pushback
NPML
from technical people in that community. Sorry?
What is NPML?
FPML. That's a derivative XML standard.
Oh.
Again, purely physical, and therefore, as you'll see if you dive into it, as it's got older and older, it's become more and more difficult to maintain because technical people insist on doing changes directly at the message schema level. There hasn't been that level of sophistication that you would see in other industries where you start with a business conceptual model, you would identify your content and your changes in that, and then you ripple that down through the logical. That kind of mature approach to development simply isn't one that's been familiar to most of the people working on most of the standards in the financial domain. So what we see are a lot of physical standards, a lot of logical standards, and no ontology. And that's really the gap that we're here to plug, is ontology as the missing conceptual model, with the production of OWL as a simple byproduct of the way we chose to plug that gap, namely using formal ontologies to represent formal business knowledge.
Are there any other questions for Mike Bennett, specifically on the FIBO ontology content? We have some time for those kinds of questions, and then we can move on to the other question of how we're actually going to get this into one of the OR instances. But if people have any other questions for Mike Bennett right now on the content or scope of FIBO.
Question, Peter Yim. What would be the next major block of ontologies that will come up after the nine that you have for the business entities? Can you hear me, Mike?
Sorry, I forgot to unmute it. The next ones are for securities and for loans. And I don't know the exact number of individual .owl modules those will be in. We have, in fact, a double modular structure. We have the standard level, like FIBO for business entities. We then have a section or module, whatever's the best word for it, like business entity, corporation, trust, partnership, and so on. And then within that, we have a number of individual .owl sections or ontologies. So for securities, we'll have equities, debt instruments, what else? Rights instruments. there's a few things like exchange traded derivatives, which are now moved into the derivatives section, and the funds material I'm proposing to move into a separate ontology because it is quite a complex area. So we may only have two or three sections, equity, debt, and rights, indicators and indices. And then within each of those, there'll be a number of individual ontologies, but we don't know exactly how many because we haven't yet worked on the breakdown of this into these smaller .owl components. So in the existing semantics repository, it's just arranged at the level of equity, debt, rights, indices, and so on.
And what are they in now? It's also SBVR?
No, they're all in ODM. We've got nothing in SBVR.
I thought that they're almost like automated tools to go from ODM to some of the other things, like OWL.
We're hoping to go into SBVR somewhere down the line. We've been talking to Donald Chapin and the others, and we're aiming that at some point some of our future ontologies will combine OWL's both ODM and SBVR. But we haven't worked out exactly what's involved yet. It might be that simple, it might not. I'm not going to make any assumptions until we have actually looked at what it would look like and what it takes to do it.
Did both the groups participate, both in, like, some people are common in ODM and SBVR, but the integration of the two has not happened yet, as far as I know, Mike.
That's correct.
Okay, any other questions on content of Feeble before we move on to the practical question of getting it into an instance?
Yeah, just completing the last question. When would these next ones be available? Do you have a time frame?
Yes, the plan, and this all depends on what happens in June, whether the architecture board votes to go forward with our business entities ontology or not. It's very much up to them. But assuming that all goes forward, the plan is to then submit the securities and loans proposed standards at the September quarterly meeting. So there's a quarterly meeting cycle, June, September, December, March, and we'll have a couple of sections each time. So the derivatives will be a quarter after the securities because of the dependency between them, for example. And the market data, the date time stuff, will also be a quarter after security for the same reason.
So we're talking about securities and loans after this, after September?
September. Yeah. That's correct, yes. If they say yes, of course.
All right, so which instance then? So you know, again, assuming that everything goes through and when Mike's ready, that the different modules in the Feeble are available, which OOR instance should these ontologies be uploaded to? This is one question I've never really been clear on.
I would say sandbox. I mean, but I'll defer to Ken and Mike Dean.
Okay, so let's just open that up for now. Let's have a bit of discussion there. So Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, the sandbox is the one that we're closest to production, I guess. The other ones are more development or testing.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. So dev and test are more for coders, and sandbox are more for content people. So we'll pretty much try to keep sandbox fairly stable.
So another question from my end of things, and I don't know otherwise which of these things we should upload to, but a separate thing that we've been thinking about, which I described a little bit just now in terms of how we align between the REA ontology terms and the XBRL, GL accounting semantics and so on, is that we want to take this whole approach whereby each of the things that we've generalized is a term that is defined and grounded with reference to other standards like the date-time vocabulary and so on. So ultimately, that's something we're very committed to. We want to find the best environment to make that kind of integration and cross-referencing happen. If that best environment is one of the OOR instances, then that's where we would like to be.
Sounds great.
Okay, so let's see. So practically then, how are we going to get FIBO into the sandbox? I guess the question would be, how can we best assist Mike Bennett in getting FIBO uploaded? I guess that would be the question.
Mike Dean would probably have some pointers.
Okay, well, we can maybe table that question for now and maybe move on to Mike Dean, who can maybe give us just an overview of SOCOP's work on their ontologies in the geospatial area. Because then again, after both of these, I think there's this other issue that Mike Bennett raised, which would be the more generic end of things. So time, for example, where there would be ontologies that would be shared and reused among different ontologies that could perhaps actually be in different OOR instances. So that's another kind of a longer term question. But Mike Dean, are you available now to give an overview? Okay, great.
So the situation with SOCOP is really fairly simple. I mean, we have an instance of OOR that's up. We've got about 25 ontologies that have been loaded there. Most of those have been kind of seeded from a trade study or several industry standards or a couple other sources that we have. I think at this point, Gary and I have uploaded almost all of them. We have been soliciting inputs at several different conferences. There are some other ontologies that are kind of on our list of things to load. One of the major ones is SWEET from NASA, which certainly has a number of geospatial components. One of the questions that comes up there that I think will probably also come up in the, from what I heard over the last 15 minutes or so I've been on, with FIBO is basically how to handle lots of OWL files, or SWEET would call modules. I'm trying to remember the numbers actually, but SWEET has an incredibly large number of individual OWL files, and our thought at this point has been to write a little program so we can actually load, say, all of SWEET as one ontology. But then basically use the bioreporter mechanism for views basically to implement the modules. And, have a program essentially that will look through the individual files and divide them, create the views, based on the content of the individual files. So that's something I've been kind of thinking about writing as a background task, but haven't done yet. So, in terms of, we have uploaded some upper ontologies as well. Ultimately, I think I'd like to see those kind of hosted by a central OOR and, federated out to other instances, but a little bit more, manual linkage, between those. It probably makes sense until we get, kind of go back and, add some more of the federation capabilities to the current version of BioPortal. We've done some work earlier. I think that's probably OBE by other changes. There's some support for within BioPortal itself for copying instances, although that's more copying ontologies. That's more, as far as I can tell, kind of an a setup and bootstrapping process rather than, a user-visible federation.
Okay, so I guess, so then the SOCOP OR, you would maybe characterized as relatively mature in terms of the rest of OR?
Well, I think it's, you know, it, at this point, I think it's you know, a viable collection of ontologies. You know, we certainly would like to get more user-contributed input into it. But I think it's you know, fairly well-contained in terms of what it covers and, you know, what it, you know, what we ultimately, you know, expect it to support. One question that's kind of come up in EarthCube is whether we should, you know, the which is an emerging community within NSF, is whether to sort of offer to let them use, you know, that instance basically as a repository for, they're more focused on sort of geophysical aspects rather than geospatial. So, but I think they would benefit from a repository as well.
So when you're saying you're looking for more user input, you were kind of thinking of that kind of endeavor. Are there other groups within SOCOP that you're still kind of trying to get people to upload their kind of geospatial?
USGS has been doing quite a bit of work. They actually, I think, uploaded one of their ontologies recently. They're actually doing a workshop today that the Gary and other people are presenting in.
Right.
And there are a couple other, you know, more a couple other communities there as well. I mean, you know, the work on ontology design patterns, you know, that Christoph and Pascal and other folks are involved in, you know, I think fits in well. You know, I would like to see those patterns in the ontology in the OR as well.
Does Mike, does NASA GUS, NASA suite and USGS ontology just geophysical based, do they interoperate? Or not yet?
That's a good question. I mean, the USGS work has mostly been focused on the layers and their national map product, which has seven different types of data,
mm-hmm.
some of which is more raster rather than you know, object
right.
or feature, mm-hmm. feature
yeah.
or vector data. So things like hydrography is one of them. Place names, you know, which is more or less you know, the feeds from USGS and NGA basically, you know, provide at least the initial material for geonames, for instance. I think it's been, in the case of USGS, I think it's been more mapping to the data sources that they have in hand rather than trying to reach out and map to other ontologies and other domains, but you know that's certainly a next step that would make sense.
So while NASA suite would aim more at inertial referencing and translation into space and interplanetary or planetary space, USGS refers only to Earth and its surface.
Well, it's suite is fairly broad. I mean, you know, encompassing, you know, a lot of environmental aspects and, you know, a lot of kind of, you know, some basic things like units of measure and so forth as well. So, although it tends to be fairly high level, so I think most specific domains will end up specializing it to some extent as well. But, you know, there probably is some specific you know, aspects of navigation and coordinate reference systems and things like that. But, you know, that's just a small portion of Suite as a whole. And I'm trying to, you know, I wanted to say that Suite has 600 modules.
600? Wow.
That might actually be the number. I should, you know.
It's possible.
The website. You know, Rob Raskin has, you know, put a lot of work into that over, you know, a very long time.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate certainly that that won't.
Yes.
He anyway won't be evolving that further.
Yeah.
And presuming some of those modules are suitable points of reference for real estate ontologies that others have produced as well. Yeah, there's, again, connections between these different sets of subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a valuable set, and, you know, there may be some of those, you know, particularly some of the upper portions that, you know, would make sense to go into more, more less domain-specific ontologies as well.
So, like, I noticed, you know, like looking at the SOCOP repository, so you weren't involved, you weren't an author of any of the ontologies. So how did these other people who were not, kind of not part of OR, what were some of the feedback that you got from them?
The nomenclature is varies a little bit between different parts of BioPortal. So I think what shows up when you browse the ontology as author is actually what shows up as contact when you upload the ontology.
So you actually uploaded most of them?
Yeah, Gary and I have uploaded
okay.
Most of them. They're here. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think you know, that's kind of a question for the, you know, the OR in general. I mean, ideally you would like to have the authors upload them, but in some, not practical for, you know, for a variety of reasons, obviously. And in Rob's case, you know, he could not do that now. No.
So if we want, like, say we want to get Mike or Mike Bennett or somebody else that Mike Bennett is working with to upload the FIBO modules into the sandbox, are there any specific guidelines or procedures that you would recommend that he follow?
Well,
get new ontology.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the questions is, you know, how to handle the multiple files. And I might comment also, one of the reasons we've held off a little bit on Suite is that it's so large that we kind of so dominate all the other statistics in here that I was a little bit nervous about that. But I think I'm becoming less nervous about that at this point.
Okay.
You know, I think one question in terms of uploading is whether you really want to upload it. FIBO is, you know, one big ontology that basically is formed by taking the, you know, imports closure over all of the L files, or whether you actually want to upload individual components of it.
Well, certainly the OMG has been moving us into the direction of more and more smaller and smaller modules for reasons which seem to make sense to those doing our operational ontologies. And it's under their pressure that we've been doing that. So whether it then needs to be brought back together or not, I don't really know.
Right.
Bear in mind that many of these ontologies also have dependencies on the mid-level ontologies terms, which over time will be deprecated in favor of references to industry standard mid-level ontologies, possibly even some of the suite modules, certainly some modules around date time and so on. So those, there will always be, if you look at all of the OWL imports into our ontologies, there will always be imports from other ontologies outside of our space. That's the whole, like I say, we're not doing a pizza ontology where it's completely isolated from everything else. We just don't believe that would have been right.
Right. I mean, to be honest, the right answer probably is to basically load them at the level that your sort of, you know, configuration managing or, you know, versioning the system as a whole. So, I mean, certainly things like, you know, the date time vocabulary sounds like it should be independent. I don't think quite got the sense of, you know, I think you said there were 9 OWL files for business entities or something. And that's probably an example where I'm not sure if it really should be loaded as 9 separate ontologies or 1 ontology with 9 modules. Yeah.
Peter, you have your hand up.
Yes. Question going back to Mike's earlier remark about EarthCube. You said you guys, meaning SOCOP, is contemplating whether or not to offer the SOCOP instance to EarthCube. So did what are the pros and cons? And if SOCOP decides against that, would, let's say, the OR sandbox be a proper thing to offer?
Well, let's see. So I think we made some suggestions in email, although I think they basically, you know, didn't get included in, you know, as an offer in the last presentation for EarthCube. I guess my concern is, you know, I think having them have a tool would be good. Having them have a set of ontologies that are relevant and, you know, kind of seeding, you know, a repository for them with a set of relevant ontologies is a good thing. You know, I think there's some risk of kind of losing the focus. So if you have things on, you know, minerals and things like that, I'm not sure that an ontology of minerals, for example, that certainly fits with, you know, the geophysical focus, but doesn't necessarily fit with the geospatial focus. So, you know, longer term, I think the inclination is that they probably should have, you know, their own repository, you know, perhaps federated or seeded, you know, with relevant ontologies from other places. The sandbox, you know, is even much more broader. So, I mean, I think that's certainly, I guess I kind of view that as a place where people can play, but not necessarily where you really kind of support ongoing kind of well-defined work.
Are they sort of fairly mature already, or?
No. They're really, I mean, there are a number of people that are active who have been, you know, who are very knowledgeable and have been working in this area a long time, but on the domain side, I think there is relatively little developed in the way of developing ontologies, particularly in OWL.
So doing it on the sandbox may just be offer them a taste of what it may be like.
Yeah, it's probably more a place they can kind of test drive and decide if they want to have one of their own.
Right.
You know, is you know, probably a good role for the sandbox.
Yeah, which is what the sandbox was supposed to be for, before
right.
We get to the production box anyway.
Right. So I had a couple thoughts, you know, with FIBO. You know, ultimately it seems like you probably would want to have your own repository for that as well. I think I lost track of the other point I was going to make.
Yeah. We will have our own repository. We're actually, as part of the standardization process, we're moving the content across to a metadata repository called Adaptive, which will provide dereferenceable terms from the ontology. So that's its kind of primary home.
Ah, okay. So I'm not familiar with Adaptive.
It's a metadata repository. So.
Okay, so it's more focused on UML, I assume, rather than OWL?
It's focused on ODM. And,
oh, okay.
Okay. Yes, essentially that's OWL in a different syntax.
Just like, okay.
Is it metadata in the sense of ISO 11179? The metadata standard?
Essentially, yeah, it's what's metadata in the sense normally referred to in OMG, data about data. Basically what Adaptive as a whole handles is the full range of types of data and metadata about it, from physical model elements to logical design constructs to, you know, including the various different UML constructs.
Okay.
As well as the ODM. Clearly we're not using all that, but that's what it means to be a metadata repository.
Oh, it's modeling metadata, not conceptual metadata.
Correct.
So I thought the other point that I have wanted to make, and that is that it seems like using FIBO as an example, it might be a good opportunity to at least walk through by hand kind of the policies that are implemented by Keeper. and use that as kind of a check. Some validation of those, even if it's not automated at this point.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One comment I had, is this a good time to make it?
Go ahead, Robbie.
I do not know where you will host, but ultimately if you were to host both geophysical and geospatial ontologies together on some portion of OOR, you are encouraging them to start experimenting with interoperation and ultimate integration, also integration with different date time type of concepts. So this is just one thought process I had.
We would ultimately like to.
And also, I think other industries such as real estate or some development or interior departments usage and things like that, that are sometimes commercial, sometimes environmental, they can also interoperate with those.
Yeah, even ultimately we see that whether this is an OOR question or not, we see that ultimately from a semantic point of view, it should be possible to get all of these standard ontologies relating to each other with the right level of abstraction and partitioning the most general level, which is part of what we've been doing around the transaction terms, and we'll be doing again with the date time terms. So I think as more and more standard ontologies come on stream, it should be possible to deal with the semantic interoperability of those in some better way than we have at the moment. That's something I'd like to see.
Okay, so if we just have maybe about 10-15 minutes left. So far today, I mean, this is, pretty good, pretty optimistic. I think the SOCOP repository, the SOCOP instance is really moving along. And we have, FIBO is in a great state to be uploaded to the sandbox. We just need some resources, I guess, Mike Bennett, I need some resources and anything else we can assist Mike with, to get FIBO into the sandbox. So that kind of covers really the two big content people that we are looking at today. There are two other bullet points, I guess, in our agenda discussion for today. And one was a discussion on how we can engage content contributor communities and systematically build up the user base. So I think this probably means people outside of SOCOP, outside of FIBO, because I think we have some positive energy going there. What are some of the other contributor communities that we might want to engage?
Bob Smith, who has joined us. I mean, we haven't had Bob at an OR call for a long time, so welcome, Bob. And I guess he represents the building architectural side of things. So, Bob, tell us why you're here and what can we do to help?
Thank you, Peter. I'm Bob Smith, representing only myself as Tall Tree Labs. But Tall Tree Labs is involved with the National Institute of Building Standards, which sits kind of like NIST, in one sense, focusing on a variety of national concerns, primarily in building. Specifically, the Building Smart Alliance is a nonprofit organization set up to accomplish some federal objectives in unifying the traditionally fragmented architectural, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, engineering, and construction trades using a taxonomy of many different parts cobbled together over the last 20 years into what's called the National Building Information Model Standard. And last Thursday, we released version 2.0 to the public and have started working on the National Institute of Building Model Standard 3.0. NBIMS, or BIM, as it's frequently known, is an effort to cobble together domain ontologies, as I indicated, of the architects, the engineering community domains, which there are many, and the construction. So as a lead of a blue sky new ballot initiative for model development and reference architecture, I kind of talk frequently with Deb McPherson, who may be familiar to you, Roger Grant, who is also a participant, and Lou Heck, recently of OGC interest. So there's a real reasonably small community trying to leverage the concept, the tools within the ontology world to accomplish big, bold objectives, one model at a time. So I'm guided by some rigorous rules, you might say, of governance, of what I can say and commit. So I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible, and I'm sure many of you can read between the lines. I would love to have had a conversation that I've heard so far in the last 43 minutes addressing all of these issues, because whether we like it or not, the construction, architectural, engineering community really needs to address all of these issues in the context of what Mike Bennett has been talking about, and that's the OMG Financial Domain Task Force, which I've been trying to follow fairly closely, particularly the May newsletter that was released to me yesterday. So what I've heard is a lot of good stuff about OMG, a metamodel, and the whole notion of a open ontology repository is something I talked with Ken Baklowski briefly. What is it, 4 years ago now, Ken?
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, 2008, yes.
Yeah. So that's I'm kind of a spy, you might say, for capturing the content, the direction, and the maturity, the data maturity model that EDM is working on sounds something terribly needed for interoperability between the vast amount of data that flows about all the construction projects that you see around you. So there's obviously a very high need. It's a question of finding the right proper introductions and to make the appropriate educational initiatives. So thank you for inviting me, Peter.
Anytime.
So, Bob, just a quick comment. While I've been looking at the MISMO standard and trying to find the semantics to put in that, a lot of the terms they have and the terms that regulators need reporting on are really not about loans at all, but about construction projects. And that's another area where I suspected there would be overlap with groups more competent to be defining the semantics of those terms. So what you're saying is music to my ears in terms of where to look for these kinds of meaningful concepts.
Yeah, particularly when if a developer puts in double pane windows, they increase the value of that building by a factor of some amount. But there is no recognition of that value improvement anywhere through the chain of financial sectors. So the assistant to the president of NBIMS, Ryan Calker, has created a council on finance, insurance, and real estate to discuss all of these issues. And I have provided him with the work that the EDM, the Financial Domain Task Force, produced about a year ago, with some impact, but he's a lawyer and has an agenda, and there's more education to be done. But I certainly am applauding the work that you're doing at the OMG with EDM.
Well, thank you. And if you can connect us into that work, you know, do please let them know that we'd be delighted to talk to them in detail, because right now we really need to, you know, the whole NISMO loan side is becoming quite a top priority right now.
The gentleman's name is Ryan Calker, and we can exchange some emails about the best avenues to proceed. I'd love that.
Thank you.
And certainly also it will result in reduced operating costs. So financial recurring aspects are also there.
Well, there's been efforts to put a number on that amount. And in the U.S., one number that's been bandied around is $1.6 billion a day.
Wow.
There was NIST study on the lack of interoperability in construction.
Yeah.
And some numbers came out of that. There was nowhere near as large. I'm simply agreeing with your point that there's tremendous value to be achieved in improving productivity and lowering costs and reducing risk at the same time by using improved standards of information sharing within the construction sector in the U.S. and other countries. Diatech has gone some distance with ISO 15926, as you're all aware of. And hopefully we can learn as I learn more about OOR, how to translate and transfer some useful information in and between the construction sector.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you have your hand up.
Yes. Bob, I was on an early study of this with the National Science Foundation in 1984, and the study was funded basically by the Army Corps of Engineers. They claimed that they were the largest construction contractor in the U.S., and it turned out that much of what they were complaining about was the fact that the industry itself was so fragmented because there were so many little companies, each with their own little proprietary corner of the world, and the military, you know, wanted them to basically step up and salute. Do you find that still the case? Is it still true that the construction in the large is not the same as construction in the Corps of Engineers, and the Corps of Engineers is still the gorilla in the tent?
From my viewpoint, the GSA is the really big gorilla. Bill East is the PhD guy and the Army Corps of Engineers, who has a fairly large tool that he's been whacking at the heads called COBE. And it does a lot in leveling the field of information flow using a spreadsheet to capture the content. The fact that the industry is fragmented into small units does not preclude cloud BIM. What I mean is, with appropriate sets of software tools and some degree of passion, small firms can use national and international standards and to collaborate in developing large and complex built environment artifacts. So BIM has the role, according to U.S. policy, to provide a way to radically restructure these fragmented sectors into a more coherent, harmonized group using industry standards to build.
But they won't give up their proprietary tools, or at least they wouldn't. Again, this is 25 years ago, so I'm sure it's changed. But
yeah.
So you're saying the proprietary tool issue is OBE now?
It's in strong debate. GSA, as I said, is an 800-pound gorilla requiring Autodesk and Bentley and the other three major software vendors to provide industry standards, open standards.
Okay, so they've actually started to enforce the open standards rules. You know, the government's had them for years, but nobody's ever really come down hard on them. If they're really enforcing it now, then we do have a chance. That's one of the issues for OR to me, is that we're really fighting with the proprietary stuff.
Exactly. And GSA has made some major initiatives. NAV ships is starting to get on board. The Coast Guard is already on board. Two states have BIM protocols. I was at a Western Construction Council meeting on May 11th in the Ziggurat building in the capital of California. And so there's some initiative to get California Department of General Services on board in requiring BIM performance. So I think a lot of the information that you received some years back has gone away, but not all, and there's some big battles ahead.
Yeah, but the thing that worried me most was hearing your discussion of what they were doing. It sounded just like what we were talking about in 84.
Deja vu all over again.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah.
We keep doing this until we're going to get it right?
Yeah, in 1990, there was a very large effort to describe the construction process. And I can go back years at looking at efforts. And I think we're starting to learn from our prior mistakes, but not learning fast enough. I see the OOR as a pull to leverage this particular world significantly as an educational vehicle.
Well, thank you, Bob. That was great because that was a whole area that I personally wasn't aware of. So thanks for kind of opening our eyes to that other group, and we look forward to having some of the ontologies from your area coming in. And like I said, if there's anything that we can help you with, start a discussion.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're kind of at the end of our time here. Peter, you just needed a few minutes before we close to kind of tie down events for June 19th and 26th.
June 5th, which is next week, we're not going to have a meeting because a lot of people will be at SEMTAC. And then June 12th will be our regular monthly team meeting, which means we need to put something into the June 19th and the 26th calendar. Otherwise, when we meet on the 12th, people may or may not be able to turn around in an event for within a week. So since Michael, yourself, Ken is here, Mike Dean is here, you are the sort of heavyweights on configuring the next events. Would maybe out of the three of you, two of you, like, each pick up a date and fit something into the 19th and the 26th?
Well, we could have, on the 26th, we could have another content session like this to catch the people that weren't able to make it today.
26th?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, Ken or Mike, would you like to pick up the 19th for either architecture or for development?
The 19th?
Yeah, June.
There's a meeting in Boston that day, conference, Enterprise 2.0.
So you'll be in Austin?
Boston. Right here where I am.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it's a conflict. I mean, I'm going to be at this Enterprise 2.0, but I don't know. I don't know just yet exactly when during the day.
Then maybe Mike, would you consider?
Well, let's see. I don't have any specific thoughts for
development
telecon.
There were a couple of issues that popped up today, multiple formats, modularity, federation.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on federation, which actually was one of the things we wanted to talk about earlier.
So maybe we could do the net federation, modularity, et cetera, on the 19th.
I would even want to talk about going from database schema progressively to vocabularies, LOD vocabularies to ontologies if some of you guys want to talk about it. Because for those who were with us for the last two sessions with the data.gov people and the New York City people, this huge opportunity. And I hope we can come up with some meaningful solutions or at least platforms for collaboration with them.
That potentially ties in with the federation and
it does.
Mapping issues as well. I agree. Actually, I think
mapping at least.
Yeah. I'm ready to do that. Then we kind of put some ideas on the table and it would be good to kind of see what we think we might actually be able to do there.
Right. That would be great. So
okay.
You want to lead that, Mike?
I think I'm available. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
What should we call that?
It might be, OOR for, you could think of it as OOR for big data.
Okay.
The technical details.
Oh. Okay. And what series would it fit into?
Do we actually have a series for the big data?
We don't. We can create one.
Yeah.
New series.
Yeah, it kind of I view it as a more sort of technical follow on to the last to the big data series that we had with which was a joint effort.
Ah, fantastic.
I think I think for this one, we kind of make it want to make it just one of our own rather than
Sounds great.
Solving everyone else.
So June 19th it will be. Great.
Okay.
Back to Mike to close off the meeting. Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. It was a very productive session today. Thank you very much to Mike Bennett, Mike Dean, and Bob Smith for giving us insights into the work that they've been doing lately. And talk to everyone on June 12th.
Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.